Too quiet. Sorry, that was a bit quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was Atmanivedan, yeah. Atmanivedan is the section we're on now. Nivedan, N-I-V-E-D-A-N-A. So Manasadeha Geha, let's read out the translation. Start with Balaram.
Mind, body, and family, whatever may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda.
In good fortune or in bad, in life or at death, all my difficulties have disappeared by choosing those feet of yours as my only shelter.
Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you are the master of your eternal servant.
If it is your will that I be born again, then may it be in the home of your devotee.
Man be born again, even as the worm, so long as I may remain your devotee. I have no desire to be born than the Brahma occurs to you.
I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desires for worldly enjoyment and liberation, all liberation.
Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you are everything to me.
Oh, come, please hear me. O Lord of Raj, you are my life and soul.
So, sometimes when I sing this bhajan or when I hear it, I think of, Srila Prabhupada was saying that everything that we are attached to, everything we have to surrender, it can be summed up in mind, body, and home. All the things we possess, things that we love. Or even like this verse number 7, when he's saying, Father, Mother, Lover, Son, Lord, Preceptor, and Husband, all these relationships that we look for to give us a sense of support, strength, happiness, he's showing us that ultimately all of those things are inseparable from Krishna. He's saying, Krishna, you are all of those things, and now I'm surrendering completely to you. So we can also think we're singing these words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and we're trying to be in his prayer, in his meditation, but we can also think about our own. Anyway, it's natural we start to think about our own things that we have such attachment for, and whether we are ready to surrender or not. Ready. Can I just ask, yesterday I said I would sing each line twice because it helps to be able to look at the words. But then I was also keeping an eye on the time, because yesterday we were singing 4 songs and it takes obviously double the time to sing it twice. Did anybody feel a problem? Because then I stopped doing that and I sang mostly only once. Did you feel like you'd rather sing it twice to be able to read it again, or it was all right?
It's all right.
It was okay? Because I know sight reading the songs, if you've never read them before, it can be a little challenging, but... Okay, so we'll do it.
Thank you.
I was just thinking, like, hopefully there's no family. The mood yesterday was like from the, let's say, like, the, what we could think, the sense of, okay, our attachments or our, like, how we are, maybe, okay, when you see people are getting hurt, you feel happy, or when they're successing, you feel sad. That mood was like more or less yesterday.
Noticing all the faults
the faults in ourselves. Mm. And then the second part is like praying from the heart to Krishna, saying, I acknowledge what we have, like what I am, and pray that, you know, you get these changes, like, you know, you surrender to Krishna. And then it comes to the point also that when if I have to take birth again, and then I could prefer, pray that it comes to the devotee. So, like, just thinking the different moods and prayers, like, it is very beautiful, like, it sounds really, really beautiful. Like, when we sing it, and how, like, of course, at the end it says that Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, and how do we, like, we can, when, like, we sing it, like, as a prayer, like, Vinod Thakur is praying, and how do we pray that, use, like, for example, this song, I heard it,
So, as I understand, your question is like the moods are very, you can really appreciate the moods and everything, but if we can't relate because we're not in that place, are we singing it as our own prayer, or are we just appreciating his words? As far as I understand it, as I've questioned similar thing, because I also feel the same way, you know, it's like you can appreciate the sentiment to whatever degree you're able to understand, but of course we're not at that place of saying, you know, if we were all feeling that Krishna was our father, mother, lover, son, we would be detached. I mean, not that we'd be detached, we'd still have those relationships, but we wouldn't feel the same ups and downs necessarily, because we'd be more equipoised, everything's just connected to him. So as far as I've understood from my seniors, is that as we, just to chant these prayers, just to sing them and meditate on them, is a purifying process in itself, because he is a pure devotee and this is his prayer. So by singing his words, we are associating with a pure devotee in that way, in a very intimate way. So, you know, association can come in so many different forms. We can't sit next to him in physical time and space, but by singing these words, we are sitting with him. We are internalizing the mood of a pure devotee. So I don't think you have to feel. I've asked the same question, like, well, how am I supposed to relate to it? Because I don't really feel like that. But we shouldn't expect to feel like that, but it's like if you know what the goal is, if you know where the bar is, you know what you're aiming for. You may know how far away it is. Like, you may know, okay, I just can't jump that high. I mean, I really can't, I'm not physically capable. But then at least you even know where you're at to pray for. How will I ever get up there? Please help. What's that?
Pray for stepmother.
Yes, stepmother. Yeah, you know what the goal is. So to understand what it sounds like, what it feels like to pray as a pure devotee is a rich education in itself, even if we're not there yet. That's as far as my understanding. But we can probably talk more about it, because it is an interesting thing, because as aspiring devotees, we always have a very high example set by not just our senior devotees that we see today, but from Srila Prabhupada, for everyone that's above us, they're really setting a very high standard, and sometimes we wonder how to relate. So anyway. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? We were speaking yesterday about the different melodies that we would pick for these different prayers. Are there different ragas that you would like for different ragas?
You mean like would you choose a specific raga?
Yeah, or for surrender, is there one that you would choose for that particular Or is it just more traditional that you're going with that?
You can, I don't know. Too much English speaking. The other way that this song is usually sung, I chose this tune because a lot of the other ones we're singing are in a minor key, so for some variety I chose this tune. But the other way it's often sung is different mood already. So yeah, you can be like selective in that way. I mean, definitely ragas, specific ragas have certain moods attached with them. But it's not compulsory that you choose a raga, but absolutely, like we all know in any music, the tune, the melody of the song, it carries so much feeling, so yeah. Likewise, you know, sometimes some of these bhajans are sung, like for instance in traditional Bengali singing of them, sometimes the tune will be like very jaunty, kind of bouncy, and if you don't understand the words you think it sounds like a very happy kind of bhajan or something, but if you understand it it's like lament or something. So sometimes the tune that's chosen doesn't really go with the meaning so well. I think that some of these, you know, for instance the tune that we just sang, it has a kind of bittersweet kind of feeling, and I think that's very apt for this song because he's joyfully surrendering, but in surrender there's also some, it's sacrifice, it's not completely like, it's joyful but it's, you're giving something up. Any other thoughts or questions? Or I wanted to say, you know, it's nice to also talk about any reflection you have on singing this. What's your experience of singing these words, or does it bring anything to your mind? Does it? What do you experience when we chant, when we sing the Maha Mantra after singing the bhajan, and then go back to it? Do you feel anything different?
Just had a thought related to Risha, maybe this is something we can look forward to, like you were saying. Mm. And sometimes we ask ourselves, well, I want to go back to God at the end of this life, but then there's a question, should we stay back and help progress? So I think Bhakti Nodhaka perfectly says it, you know, if I have to be born again, may it be in the home of the devotee.
Even as an insect.
Even, so that should be the prayer we should look forward to praying.
Right. It's a really good point, because we may never even have had that thought if it wasn't suggested by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Like, would we think, rather than go back to Godhead, oh please let me be born again, even as an insect, you know. That thought may not come to us naturally, but by seeing such an advanced devotee pray in that way, we understand actually that's a higher prayer, because he's saying, just do whatever you like with me. You can kill me, you can protect me, I can be born again, but my only prayer is that I'm just always connected with you, because you're everything to me. It's much more completely selfless surrender than please let me come back to Godhead so I can go play with the cows with you, eat kachoris.
It's quite like, yeah, sometimes you can be like outside the song. I feel sometimes like being a woman's body will like connect them to being emotional and sentiment is there. But somehow like sometimes there's something like reveals, it's like, yeah, and especially because he was so connected to those words, so sometimes I feel that it really happens. So I feel sometimes as Sri Jivadeva is more of a accompanying him along.
Rather than being in it yourself. I know exactly what you mean. I've had that experience where I actually really, the thought came to my mind, I feel like I'm in a glass box, or like there's a glass wall here, like I'm singing the words but I don't relate to the feeling. But as you're saying, then sometimes actually some new feeling is experienced by the more that you sing it. How about when we chant the Maha Mantra, does anyone experience anything different in that way?
That's easier, actually.
It's easier, yeah.
I feel, especially when you heard the words and you read about him, and somehow,
Sometimes I feel like it's almost like a springboard, like the Maha Mantra, you suddenly feel like, whoa, can just go, because there's this meditation that's behind it, and also potency from chanting this prayer. Because sometimes we can be on autopilot with Maha Mantra, because we can do it, sing it in our sleep, you know, and mind can go anywhere while you're chanting. But by kind of first focusing on a certain specific prayer or a mood, it can really help. Anything else? Well done with the tune. It's quite a not usual type of tune. So a lot of the next songs in this section of Sharanagati are in the same mood. He talks about giving up he talks about surrendering his senses, his possessions, his followers, wife, sons, personal belongings. And I wanted to also mention that these six principles of surrender they're principles, but they're not stages. So it's not that after humility then comes always surrender. There's all these different stages, but they can be interchangeable, some of them. But he put them in this order, I think, purposely to emphasize a certain kind of a path through, definitely with humility at the beginning. So we have one more song in the Atmanivedan section, and then we'll do one more section for today as well. The next one is Atmanivedan, the title song. So I might need a helper to change the screen after we go halfway through. Yeah. I have become supremely joyful by surrendering myself at your holy feet. Unhappiness has gone away and there are no more anxieties. I see joy in all directions.
Your two lotus feet are reservoirs for immortal nectar, where one may live free from sorrow and fear. I have found peace there now, and have given up the fear of worldly existence.
I shall render service in your household, and not endeavor to enjoy the fruits of that service, but rather I shall strive for whatever pleases you, fully devoted to your lotus feet.
Troubles encountered in your service shall be the cause of great happiness, for in your devotional service joy and sorrow are equally great riches. Both destroy the misery of ignorance.
Can you read that one again?
Troubles encountered in your service shall be the cause of great happiness, for in your devotional service joy and sorrow are equally great riches. Both destroy the misery of ignorance. So, will help us a lot.
I have completely forgotten all past histories. I feel great joy in my mind. I am most certainly yours, and you are indeed mine. What need is there of any other treasure?
Bhakti Vinod, diving into the ocean of bliss, devotes all his efforts for your service and dwells in your house according to your wishes.
Thank you.
Sometimes in Bengali the words are very evocative of the English word, like he says, anande dubia, diving into this dubia. It sounds like diving. It's nice. Okay, so we take a little break and come back in 5 to 1. It's 15 minutes.